live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and of course, Sportsnet Plus. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Jake the Snake Schultz, Derek Brandeo, if my boy Sammy's got it right.
It's Monday, buddy. I'm locked in.
Locked in.
Locked in. It's not Friday. So
good weekend. Good Father's Day.
Great. Yeah. You know, didn't do much. Watched golf. Hung around. Ate food. What else do you want? Got some unbelievable gifts from the kids at school.
Not yet a father.
Not yet a father. Well, I'm a dog dad.
Gotta earn it. Counts. How's Louie?
He's fantastic.
Did he get you anything?
No, he didn't. He took a big dump in the backyard. It was great. Watching that golf tournament yesterday, I loved the U.S. Open. Course looked borderline unfair. So it's nice to see these guys look like you and me for once.
Speaking of big dumps.
Okay.
Oilers.
Oh, jeez.
Backs against the wall. Is there any way we can hedge what we could anticipate tomorrow night based on the amount of comebacks that this team has had and their ability to find it when their backs are against the wall?
I mean, the last thing I would ever do is tell you the Edmonton Oilers are dead. All they do is punish people who make that statement. You can never say that. They never die easily. So, yeah, I mean, they lost a tough one, but they're in it here, boys.
In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Craig Simpson, former National Hockey Leaguer, two-time Stanley Cup champion, and, of course, calling the games for Hockey Night in Canada on Sportsnet. Sammy, relentless is the word that you have to include every time you mention the Florida Panthers. So what do you anticipate tomorrow night?
Like Borny said, like, it's hard to count out the Oilers, but it does feel that they have a lot more left to give than the Oilers do. And it just felt like that game on Saturday night. Didn't it just feel like, you know, you mentioned the Oilers weren't great. Not a lot. I wouldn't say they exactly showed up, but and Panthers kind of just went into, they kind of went into expert mode, bud. Like they were on a different level. I don't know.
And watching the panel Saturday night, you know, and the words that they used to describe the Oilers as, you know, hesitant and not there to start and all of it. It's like, how does that happen? How does
it's a huge moment.
I just
how are they not ready?
It looks that way when you can't get where you want to go, I feel like. And Florida's best game, if we've learned anything, is that when Florida's at their best, no one can beat them. When they play their best version, we saw what they did to the Leafs. We saw what they've done to everyone. Every time you're up against a game where it's like Florida needs this one, they win by a hat trick. You know, it's they have another gear. I don't know. By the way, I wanted to read a James Duthie tweet here, which is just multiple people who are involved or close enough to hear it all say this is the nastiest trash-talking Stanley Cup final they've ever seen. Usually some subjects are off limits, not here. Everything on the table, pure verbal hate.
Wow. Love that.
Marchand, like, Tkachuk, Perry, Kane.
Okay. Like, you're now going to compare that to, what, 25, 30 years, 50 years of the game? It's more people are down there now.
More people are hearing it.
And they didn't have that access 10 or 15, 20 years ago.
Totally.
So it's like it's all new to them, and they're like, ooh, I can't believe he said that. He
mentioned his ex-girlfriend.
Ooh. Did you get a trophy for, like, you know,
that's true.
Being the best?
But, I mean, you can see it, given the people involved and the back-to-back, you know, the rematch. You can see they've got some history with one another. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, all the talking in the world won't matter if you don't, you know, show up with your best.
It's so tough for the Oilers. Not having Hyman, RNH is like, is he available? Is he not? They don't know which way to go with a goalie. The fact that they have two wins in the series, given all their circumstances, it's impressive.
Turn into Calvin Pickard in one of the biggest games in your, like, the last 25 years of your franchise is
not how you drew it up.
Tough. And it's not, Pickard's been good for them. He was 7-0 going into that game, but you see those flying into the net, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah. 7-0, but a lot of goalies would have been 7-0.
I'm going to draw in, and Sammy, you'll probably be happy about this.
The Leafs?
I'm going to draw in a little Leaf comparison to the Edmonton Oilers, where you have your high-end talent, and then when you get down to your 10th, 11th, or 12th forward, there is a huge space.
Yep.
There's distance between one and four. And Florida doesn't have that problem. They don't have high-end skill talent like you would say McDavid or Draisaitl or Matthews when he's at the top of his game or Marner or Willie Nylander. But they don't need them at the complete height of their game because there isn't much distance between one and four in the way they play.
Well, particularly one and three. Like, you're talking about the Leafs and what they spend on their third line, and it's like, ew, who do you got? McMahon, Domi, who?
Pacioretty mixed in there times.
Combined probably makes $6 million. What's Lundell make? Maybe five himself. What's Marchand
five
make?
For like three more years.
And Marchand makes six.
Yes.
And, Lustarainen makes two and a half, three. Yeah, but my point is they have money to spend. Because they're not spending as much at the top, farther down the lineup, and all of a sudden we're deeper.
It's just spending it on the right guys. It's not, okay, you're just better because you've been better with your salary cap. No, they're just getting better players at the end.
Listen, they're picking out of a pool of better players, and they've done great. They've picked the right guys. But certainly, they're not shopping at Big Lots or wherever the Leafs are shopping. That's like, an American chain, and it's
never
not
heard,
good.
Never
Lundell
heard of it.
Kmart? Lundell was a draft choice. Lustarainen was a draft choice. Yeah. They're making good picks. That's got nothing to do with money. That's
but it
just
does,
having.
Because the Lightning make good picks too, but they have to trade Yanni Gord and Killorn and all those guys. So they can't afford to keep them because they have to pay top end guys. Anyway.
Well, they had their run of trading assets and it caught up to them a little bit more. Yeah. It just has not caught up to Florida yet.
Well, when you have to trade a conditional second round pick for
Florida doesn't have first a first rounder for the next 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. But
now that they traded Marchand, it was a second, and it turned into a first, and he's just turned into one of their most, if not their most important guy. It's crazy.
He's the best. Watching Saturday night, you go from McDavid to Draisaitl, and then it's like, okay, what's left?
A lot of Perry.
You need Perry.
Yeah.
To act like a top four forward in the NHL.
I also think that when you have a team built on having the elite top-end guys at the top, they get pulled down. Like, they can't sustain that gap between the rest of the league and playoff hockey. No one can. And I understand these guys are unique, the two on Edmonton.
And once Edmonton gets behind early, and they're talking about getting off to a great start is imperative, then it's upon themselves to try more, bigger individual efforts. McDavid coming through the neutral zone one on three, one on four. It's like he's taking it upon himself going, I'm not getting that support anymore that I had earlier in the playoffs. Therefore, I gotta try a little harder on my own.
Yep.
But don't take my word for it. Let's bring in Craig Simpson, who's covered this game. Playoffs, the Oilers now in the Stanley Cup Final. Simmer, thanks for joining us, making time, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
All right, just simply, are you calling two more games in this series or one more game in this series?
Well, if you want the drama that we've had for the last two Stanley Cups, of course we got to go back. I got to go back to Edmonton anyway, so we might as well be doing it with a game seven. And you know what? It's been kind of a wild series and one that's had a few twists and turns, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if we find a way to get ourselves back and have another classic game seven for back-to-back seasons. It would be something.
Simmer, correct me if I'm seeing this series wrong, but it looks to me like Florida kind of has their perfect team game going on. We know that they are up in the game that they lost. I believe it was game four there. But by and large have been pretty good and things are going by design. The Oilers, no Hyman, no RNH, not sure what's up with their goalie. They seem to be spinning their wheels a little bit here. Is that how it feels to you calling these games?
Well, you're playing catch up, just despite the fact that you win game one and you feel like you got an opportunity to take control. The magic of game four and coming back, down three was something. And I mean, that is kind of what the storyline for the Oilers team has been, a team that believes in itself, has been a great comeback team all throughout the playoffs. But when you got into game five and you're down 3-0 again, I just think there was no feeling that anything magical is going to happen there. And quite frankly, as you're saying, Florida had their, if you check the box of their perfect style game, I thought they played it in game five. I thought they really just, after securing that lead and then adding to it to make it 2-0, they just didn't give you anything. And that's Florida Panthers hockey when they're playing at their best. They continue to pressure even when they were up. Even when they're up 4-1, not only do they continue to pressure, but they are so tight defensively when they're on their game that I heard Nick just before it came on saying about Connor having to go 1-on-3 or 1-on-4, and they're just, you know your opponent so well by the time you get to game five. You know the individuals and how you have to play against them and treat them defensively. And quite frankly, game five was Florida's best, in my opinion, overall, with the style of play that they want to play and where they're really successful at.
Simmer, where are we between giving Florida all the credit in the world and the general feeling after game five was the Oilers came out flat? And is there any excuse whatsoever in a second crack at a Stanley Cup that you would be at home and come out flat?
Yeah, that was probably the most surprising. And, you know, it was interesting. I know it was a quick turnaround. So with the one day in between, just the way that the schedule went, that was going to be a challenging game, I thought. But I also felt, you know, listening to Chris Knobloch in between games, he talked about urgency. And, you know, they didn't have it in game four, but they got it when they got that first power play goal. And now all of a sudden we're down 3-1. The urgency kicked in. And you see a difference, well, in any team, but when you've got the top guys and then the complimentary guys feed off the energy of the top guys, that urgency was there. It was there in game four. It was a task to win that game. And it was shocking. I mean, he even said, we have to come out in game five with that same urgency. And Nick, I agree with you. You know how these playoff journeys go. You sometimes can't explain why you just don't quite have it. And maybe you're just a little bit of nerves. Maybe there's fatigue. Maybe there's doubt. I don't know. But it was clear when something, you know, didn't go their way early on, they did have, I think, a pretty good start. But that face-off goal from center ice just changed everything. And it went to Florida's legs. It took Edmonton out. I don't think they had a shot in the last 11 minutes of period one in game five. And it's kind of unexplainable. And, you know, those are the things that as a team you have to try to dig in and address and find out, you know, what do we need to do differently? How do we need to think differently going into this game six? To change that. But wow, you talk about opportunity missed. It was the opportunity of that they were really waiting for with that home ice advantage to take control of game five. And quite frankly, Florida just took it away from them.
The face-off goal, the Marchand off the face-off, obviously put goals in, gets a lot of heat for just a slow reaction off. But then there's Ekholm, who's on his offside. Was that a bigger factor than we're making it out to be, or is that just the second guy that got caught flat-footed or changing feet at the wrong time?
Yeah, it compounds the problem, right? Like, you make one mistake, and then the second layer makes a second mistake. That's what can happen. Good players. And listen, Brad made a great move. He did everything that you expect a great player to take advantage of, those two little mistakes. And they are, like, it. Both face-off goals are just devastating goals. Center ice, I said on the broadcast, when you drop, you know, rarely do you drop the puck at center ice, right? You do at the start of the game after a goal. And start of the game, guys are into it and they're focused and maybe the attention to detail is because you're ready to get started. And so you don't maybe have a lapse like that if you're a veteran guy. Pod Coles, and it was just, this is a face-off and I'm not worried about a guy jumping by me like he would be in the defensive zone. And that little lapse, a veteran guy who's having a hell of a series took advantage of it. And I do think being on his offside hurt Ekholm a little bit. I also think Ekholm's played six games since, you know, basically being ruled out of coming back at all. And three of those in overtime, all of a sudden he's playing over 25 minutes. And, you know, Nick, when you come back from injury, I've lived it too. you can get by on adrenaline for like the first maybe two games, maybe three. You get 2 weeks into that and you've played in the Stanley Cup final and you've had three long overtimes. Sometimes you just, the engine just can't get going. And I think a little bit for Ekholm, you're seeing a bit of that now, getting overly taxed at a time when, you know, he made good, played 15 minutes in his first game, and then all of a sudden you're in that 27, 28 minutes because of the overtimes. And that's one little lapse. But, man, good teams make you pay for those lapses.
So we're talking about that goal off the faceoff on Podkolzin, maybe on Ekholm, but like Marchand, my God, Zimmer, like that cut to the inside, the trapping of the stick of Ekholm.
I thought he was slow, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't like he supposed to be slow?
He's been unbelievable. Exactly. I mean, and that one was so good. Obviously, the other one, like two just beautiful goals. So we see players in the playoffs at random times have great series who aren't necessarily great players. I don't know, Ville Leino, Fernando Pisani, whoever you want to chalk that up to. Is this still Marchand's level? Do you believe this is sustainable? Like he's still an elite offensive force at his age?
Well, I can guarantee you that he can't play that way for 82 regular season games.
Right.
Like you get to 38 next year and you're going, I can't do it. I said on the broadcast, I think after his second goal, and I agree with you, Justin, like the skill of protecting the puck without having the puck on your stick is really an exceptional talent. And that was just beautiful, putting it to an area, slapping the stick of Wallman, jumping around behind him, keeping his legs moving, protecting, like all those little things you can't teach. It has to be an instinctive play. And I just think that, said in the broadcast, every Stanley Cup team loses guys. So when you get back the next year, you try to bring in guys who either have never won and are good young players. Like for me, as a 20-year-old coming into Edmonton in my third year in the league, you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now all of a sudden you're in the finals. The older guys love having somebody who is experiencing it for the first time and has that drive, like, this is what I've been dreaming about my whole life. It adds energy to guys who have been there before and have done it. But it also can be a guy at the end of the road and who has won before, who knows what it's take. He's lost before, so he knows what that feels like too, which quite frankly is important as well. You know what you didn't do the two times that you lost, or the little thing that made a difference that changed the series. And you had a guy like that, and that's what you're seeing from Brad, that's going, this is my chance. And do I think he can play this well for 82? No, but man, he has looked like he's got an extra step. He's looked like he knows that this might be his last chance ever in his life as a hockey player to win the Stanley Cup. And good for him. Like, he's playing like it. And it also then brings energy to the guys who have won it last year too, going, oh my God, we got to win it for him too. Like that's why GMs do those kind of things. Either a younger player that has the spark. For us, it was, you know, Adam Graves, Joe Murphy, Peter Klima coming in, guys who had never been there before in 1990. And they did give us a spark, too. Some of the guys who had won four Stanley Cups are like, let's win for those guys. It's even more valuable when you got a 1,000-point guy who's played, 175 playoff games, and you go, let's go win it for him. And it's just been a perfect marriage, hasn't it? And he's been, you know, originally you're thinking – it could be Bennett as the Conn Smythe. It could be Bobrovsky. But all of a sudden, you're looking at Marchand. He got six goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Stanley Cup final in five games. Like, how much more impact could you have as a player going into that role? Not much better.
You're listening to Craig Simpson, two-time Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Night in Canada analyst, which brings me to my next question on a guy like Sam Bennett. And, you know, to your point a little bit, and Zimmer, we may have 20, 22 teams that have to play 82 games as if everyone will decide whether or not they go to the playoffs. Florida was not one of them. So could a guy like Bennett just pick and choose his spots over 82 games? Because, you know, Justin and I have had a few conversations, you know, weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, going, and Justin said it, I'm not paying $8 or $9 million for this guy to go score 50 points. But is he really a 50-point guy, or is he better than that? Because he is looking like he is a legit top guy and Mr. Everything right now, and we didn't really get to see that over 82 games. Is that just a guy just finding a reason to not bring it every night in the regular season?
I don't think it's not bringing it every night. It's what's your role? So I don't think there's any team, and here's the danger of paying a guy more money than you should and then coming in with the expectations, oh, he's going to be a first-line center or second-line center. Well, Sam Bennett's not a first-line center. He is a good second-line center. On a really good team, he's an amazing third-line center. Like, if you had... I'll just look at Edmonton. If you had McDavid as the top, Draisaitl as the second, Bennett as a third, you're going, oh my gosh, but that's the spoils of riches. But I think that he's not an instinctively over-offensive guy, but you know what it's like in playoff time when it gets tighter, it gets tougher to find open ice. There are guys who they play that way all throughout the regular season, but they don't have that maybe explosiveness that can break a game open in game 47 and go on a 12-game point streak where all of a sudden you're a 75-point guy or an 80-point guy as opposed to a 50-point, 25-goal guy. But when the playoffs come, your game is so suited to that. Like I always said, not to focus on myself, but I would not be a guy in the regular season that's going to break a game open. I can't skate very well. But when the game gets tighter, that's my comfort zone. Like, it's all of a sudden the game is the way that I liked it to be played. You win a battle out of the corner, you battle in front of the net, you tip one in, you get a rebound, you get kick out for a one-timer. That's Sam Bennett's game. He can play that game throughout 82, but you're never really going to get the numbers. But all of a sudden, in a, what are they at now, 22-game span, you are just playing your game, and it's not uncomfortable for you. If anything, it's uncomfortable for your opponent, and you flourish in it. Now, all of a sudden, you stand out because the game is played in that very different way than, as you guys both know, game 0 to 82, there aren't a whole lot of games that are similar to this, right? The attention to how you have to play, and you got to win this battle. I've got to win a battle against the same guy each and every night, or the same two or three guys that I'm going to play against. And I get a comfort zone because that's what I love. Like, that's part of what Sam Bennett focuses on in how he can be effective. So in a 20, either three or four games that they're going to play here, it's so suited to the style of game that he has. And you can get on that kind of role that he has now, and he's always going to get a chance. And so I think the danger is overpaying and all of a sudden saying Sam Bennett's going to be our number one center. I think he would struggle. I think he wouldn't like that feeling. I think he's totally comfortable in the role that he has during the regular season. And as you can see now, for back-to-back, or I guess three in a row now, but he was effective last year as well in the final. But this year he's taken it to another level. You know, that I think that's not the danger you have of overpaying a guy like that. But if I'm Sam, I go, like, I know my role, I'm comfortable with it, and he is flourishing right now and finds a way to be productive each and every night.
Zimmer, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask about the goaltending situation for the Oilers. What factors do you think they're considering most while making their decision about who to put in the net in Game 6?
I don't know anything on that, but for me, it's got to be Stuart Skinner. I just think I understand why you went with Pickard. I felt Pickard was okay, but... You know, you'd be kicking yourself as a coaching staff going, you know, we maybe should have gone back to Skinner. You look at the historical, Skinner's like a home run hitter, right? You go on a blast where you're getting dingers every night, yeah, and then you strike out. Like, he is either a home run or a strikeout. And it's been that in the playoffs. You know, he had one goal against in 5 of 6 games for a stretch during the Dallas series. Last year, he went 14 straight games with 2 goals against or less, and went 14-0. Like, that's a streaky guy. And I think that Pickard, it was probably the right call to go with him in Game 5. I didn't think he was great, and I don't think there's any question that you got to go with Skinner. And if you don't go with him, you probably can't have him back next year.
Well, right. Yeah, no doubt.
You go with him and you give him the opportunity. Can you win 2 games in a row? Yeah, he's done that numerous times. Can he you know, pitch a shutout. I wouldn't even be surprised if that happens. I mean, that really has been his MO, especially during this playoffs. You look at the numbers in the wins and you look at the numbers in the losses. And I guess the best analogy is like a great home run hitter who goes cold. That's been his MO. And I think you got to give him the chance to try to win two games in a row.
Yeah, you got to go down. You got to go down with the ship on that one. And I totally agree with you, Simmer, that you seal his fate if you go with Pickard tomorrow night. Yeah. Okay, pal. Thanks for the time as always. Have a great call, and let's just hope you've got two great calls this week coming up.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I got to go back to Edmonton anyway, so we might as well be
exactly.
doing a game.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Simmer.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Simmer.
That is Craig Simpson, Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I love the analogy of Skinner as a home run hitter. Three true outcomes, just two true outcomes with him.
Win or lose?
It's going over the wall, or he ain't hitting, ain't touching a pitch.
Yeah.
So, got to hit a couple home runs. Got to send Barry Bonds up there in these games, don't you?
I think a loss seals his fate too, right?
Yeah, we can't win with him.
You can't go two in a row. You cannot lose.
His future is
on the line. Can't lose two finals
That's
in a row
stake.
as a starting goalie.
Borny and I talked about this on Friday, though, Kipper. Like, even if he wins these next two games, if they win the cup, like, do you have to consider getting another guy too? Like,
you're like, we had to go to Calvin Pickard in the Stanley Cup final. Are like,
how many times have they had to
if
pull
they win?
I know those, but like,
really good problem to have
for sure. But don't you need another option? Like, these playoffs are such a roller coaster ride with these two goalies every year.
But you don't have to make that one in August or September
of course not.
Christmas. You can take it.
But I'm
for
just saying,
60 games.
Top UFA is Jake Allen.
This is a
Samsonov, Ilya Samsonov.
It's just a high. They would continue the Leafs, former Leafs thing. It's just a high stress situation at all times. Like when you're asking who you're starting in net in Game 6
of
the Stanley Cup Final, it's like holy. You're good.
I just think that while the focus will for sure be on goaltending as much as anything else, they just got some cleaning up to do in front of whoever's in net.
Yeah,
and I really like Bouchard. I do.
Absolutely.
And
I can't believe how much I've come around on him.
I get the value, but oh my God, was he horrible in Game 5.
Yeah. I mean, anytime your top guy plays a ton against a good team, there's going to be nights it ain't pretty.
But there were some times when I would watch him, even on a power play, go back, and I don't know who the penalty killer was, but he's giving up the inside to go get the puck first, and he actually peeled on the outside and watched a Panther go get the puck first. And I'm like, that you cannot find one Florida Panther that would ever bail on going to get the puck first. Not one. And that to me was just not a good sign.
It feels remarkable that it's just 3-2. Like, it feels like Florida has controlled so much of the series.
It feels like 3-1 because of that insane comeback. Like, that felt like the series was over after the first period of game four.
It feels like 4-1.
Yeah. It feels like it should be. But we're heading back to Florida, and I'm sure, I don't know.
Win one game, man. Hockey's stupid.
Win one game, and then you have a game seven
Boston,
on home ice.
Boston won game 6 in St. Louis to bring it back to Boston.
Well, to make it about the Leafs again, they went in, they won a huge game there, 2-0.
This is playing out.
Like, nobody saw that. Nobody saw the Leafs going in, coming off an embarrassing game 5 to shut them out 2-0.
Maybe the best game in the Matthews Marner era by they played.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. See what Tkachuk said today?
Yeah, I did.
He said that they knew outside of the Oilers rematch in the final that their toughest series would be the first one against Tampa Bay. And it's like such a...
I respect the hell out of that.
Such a randomly slanderous.
So 6 teams in NHL history have won Game 6 on the road to force a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final, with the most recent instance being the 2019 Bruins. The Lightning in 2004, 2001 Avalanche, 64 Leafs, 45 Red Wings, and 42 Leafs. And the other one is 4 of those teams went on to win the Cup. The Oilers can become the second team in Stanley Cup playoff history to force a Game 7 in consecutive Stanley Cup finals. The only other team to do it is Montreal versus the Red Wings in 54 and 55. So there's a little bit of what's at stake.
54, 55. Yeah. Who could forget them?
You know, the star and New Zealand. So, yeah, there's that hasn't happened a lot. Yeah. So, there you go. Anyways, all game right. time?
Game time.
Do it.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Mr. 19 Plus, Ontario only.
Hey, what do you think
JJ Please play Spawn responsibly.
Was? Sorry, what do you think JJ Spawn was pre-US Open?
I could probably look that up. Man, but, I mean, I would probably say in the 60-1, 70-1 range.
Yeah. Do you guys maybe watch any of that?
I fell asleep.
You were gone. Did you really?
Yeah. I did.
Busy couple days or what?
You know, no, it was the stupid rain delay.
Yeah. Okay, but they came back at 5:40 p.m.
How long was the rain delay?
Like an hour?
Too long.
Yeah. Plenty of time to fall asleep.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, Gunnar, I did a golf show with him today, and shameless plug. He said he woke up from a nap, and they were showing Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open. He's like, what the hell? What year is this?
I forgot that Tiger made like a 60-foot eagle putt to win.
Yes.
It was only Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was plus two at the time or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, crazy. Checking in on the Conn Smythe, because Simmer mentioned that the Marchand. Marchand is now the second favorite at plus 450. Sam Bennett is minus money, minus 200 for Sam Bennett. If you think that the Edmonton Oilers are going to come back in this series, you'd have to think that either one of Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl are going to be otherworldly in these next two games. You're never going to see a better price for Connor McDavid than this at plus 700 for the Conn Smythe, Leon Draisaitl plus 750, and then it falls off a cliff. So Bet365 is thinking it's either going to be Bennett, Marchand, Connor, or Leon, and that seems right. So that's that. And then the line for tomorrow night, the Florida Panthers are heavy favorites. Minus 150 tomorrow night. The Edmonton Oilers plus 125 on the other side of the money line. So
Bet365
is thinking that They're tomorrow cockroaches. Night could be the night. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why some ordinary Bet365, it's 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So, for Conn Smythe, quick conversation before we go to break.
Yeah.
Okay. If we were to split up four rounds and we were to give a percentage of importance in each.
Love this
is
question.
It 25, 25, 25, 25? Is it 15 and then a gradual up to the final? So,
it is.
Where is Marchand to steal this Conn Smythe, if in fact they win in game six? Where is he with his performance in the final that he could actually steal it from Sam Bennett, who basically had it wrapped up prior to Saturday night?
Love that question.
40? 15, 25, 30, 40. I think my math is good on that. Like, are we, does that get us there? It does.
You nailed it.
No.
I don't know.
Close. I think I might be 110.
I'm not anyway. Here because I was an athlete.
So
should, it actually doesn't. Should, it's not right. 10, 20,
should
30, 40?
A Stanley Cup final have as much as half baked into a Conn Smythe announcement?
I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
50.
Jake just buzzed me here and said your math was 115. So
how about 10, 20, 30, 40?
10,
okay, that's right. That's okay. Right.
I think that that's severely underselling the how long of a grind it is to playoff win all those. Like, I think maybe it should be 30% in the final. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing that you with the NBA that I hate, it's like, oh, it's the finals MVP. And that's like they do the Eastern Conference MVP in the final thing. But like, I like the how it, every round like is incredibly important. Right. You do?
I
no, I think it really matters. Like, every round is so hard to get there. I don't know. First round, maybe the hardest round at times.
I lean towards Sammy. Like, Florida wins tomorrow night. Marchand's got another goal. Bennett doesn't.
2 points.
I'm still for Marchand leaning towards Sam Bennett.
I don't know. You know, I think it's Bennett too. Bennett to me has been the bulldozer,
yes,
clearing the way for them to file in behind him. To me, he's
over
been
2 months.
Their personality, he has defined who they are.
Yeah. Love I agree.
And he also eliminated Stolarz early, which helped.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we return, we'll chat up a little bit on the Olympic rosters that have been released, at least the first six names. And I got a beef with one guy not being there.
Oh, I'm sure who you do.
Can you guess?
Yes, I can.
That when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, Sammy, you love this stuff, right? The Olympics, baby, 2026, just around the corner. And 12 of the countries that have qualified February have revealed six of their rostered players. A lot of big names.
Why?
Because they... I don't know. Want to sell T-shirts, T-shirts, hats, okay. Buttons. Buttons big anymore?
I think
they were
huge
when I played junior hockey.
I don't know. Like, name the guys that are surprising then ahead of time. It's like, oh, yeah, Sid and Connor and McKinnon are going to be on the team. Wow.
All right. I kind of teased a little bit that one name that was missing I wasn't very happy with. Can you guys guess?
I think you want us to guess Mitch Marner, but I think you're going to say Bennett.
No.
I think Marchand.
No.
Who?
USA.
Oh.
I didn't even look, at the USA guys.
Yeah, who's on that team?
Marner, Bennett, I get it. I mean.
I thought Josh Morrissey should have been one of the first six.
But where on the USA team is the MVP of the league?
No Hellebuck?
No Hellebuck.
Oh, there we go. Oh, thank you.
Eichel, Quinn Hughes, Matthews, McAvoy, Brady Kachuk.
What kind of message are we sending?
McAvoy?
MVP of the National Hockey League. Your best player all season long, the most valuable guy in the league, can't make the USA top six.
What are they doing?
This is why you make the big bucks, buddy. I never even thought of it.
What kind of statement is Bill Guerin making?
Ridiculous.
Is it Bill Guerin?
Yeah, we got 12 teams that have five goalies named. Five. But we can't add the MVP to the NHL this season.
And it's not like he was bad in the Four Nations by any stretch.
So this is what it's going to stop.
High glove didn't look great in the winter.
You can't name a goalie MVP anymore. You can't.
Just because you think people don't trust that it's real, they're sustainably great.
Correct. This is a huge message by keeping them off that just.
Yeah,
this is why we don't.
This is why
we don't give the award to goalies very often, because we don't really like goalies.
The U.S. has the unique predicament that Jake Oettinger is elite. Thatcher Demko can be elite.
Mm.
Is there another one?
I would dream
MVP. MVP, not Oettinger. Not anybody else.
But listen.
First MVP to win since Carey Price.
He has some playoff blemishes that are impossible to ignore.
Is there a chance that he's not going to make the team?
Well, let's just...
my God.
Buddy, I just gave you two guys that could outplay him until Christmas and easily make the team ahead of him. So is there a third American
just
goalie?
Just give him the Vezina and keep him off the MVP list if you can't add him to the face of this tournament.
All right, let's look for American
goalies. I hope they start him. That's my take.
You hope they start him? Well, that's probably what they're thinking, too.
I hope he starts.
Who we got for other Americans, boys?
Swayman.
Swayman, Oettinger, Demko.
Dustin Wolf.
He's not a lock. Not a lock.
An MVP of the National Hockey League in the year 24-25 is not a lock.
A couple of yucky playoff performances. If he has a bad start to the next year and three other guys are great, then people are going to go, why would you lock him in?
Elvis Merzlikins is a lock.
Well, yeah, who's he play for?
Latvia.
Luxembourg.
All right.
Probably not.
Saros is a lock.
Yes.
But Hellebuck, we're not too sure of.
Were you surprised Binnington didn't get the courtesy?
I'm not overly surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. That one, he doesn't have the clout of the attention of Hellebuck for me.
We are waiting for a Canadian goaltender to emerge and really take the reins for Canada. I know Hellebuck, the one thing with Binnington, though, he has shown he can handle the pressure, which to me is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Aiden Hill, Darcy Kuemper, Logan Thompson, Sam Montembeau, Blackwood, Binnington, Skinner. What's Stu Skinner? You like him? Anyway.
I
Canada, no real Sam Reinhardt. Didn't have a great Four Nations, but he's in the Stanley Cup final right now. So Braden Point.
Mitch, no brain.
Marner played great in that Four Nations tournament. He could have easily been on Team Canada's top six.
Sure.
Yeah, easily. I mean, but if you're looking at big game players and whatever, Reinhardt's been in all these events and all these games and all these finals and, you know, scores a couple last night. You know, Selke Trophy votes to go with the... How many goals he got in the last couple of years?
Marner's 90? Performance in the last game, it wasn't big enough.
You know, it's so funny because I didn't think Marner played well in the Four Nations faceoff. I thought he had two massive moments.
I was good in... good in the second half of the final. And good in the overtime against Sweden. But, I mean, it was hard to be good in that tournament, quite frankly. Like, there's a lot of really good hockey being played, so...
Yeah.
Speaking of the Leafs, you want to talk about the Leafs?
So what are you hearing now, Sammy?
I saw a tweet from somebody who was listening to CJ on TSN radio talking about, like, that they're looking at this the Tavares deal, like the Yanni Gord deal, like for 6 years, but, like, it's definitely going to be more than $5 million, I think I saw. Like, can everybody just take a quick breath and
this
a step
can't,
and,
can't
a,
be true.
And a step back? It's like, is that, that's too much and too long. It's just, I'd rather pay him high AAV for a short period of time than that.
It is come kind of off the Chris Tanev, they gave Chris Tanev 6 years, did they not?
Yeah, but like for 4.5.
Yeah, for 4.5.
And it's who's the more important to the Leafs?
Yeah, Tanev.
Oh my God, not but even close.
You can't take away, would he end up with 38 goals and 70 points?
Buddy, you can't sign Tavares to a 6-year
contract. I'm not thrilled about it either. And it's a message to me, whether Marner leaves or not, we all know that it's very close to him leaving. You're not going to win a cup with Tavares being a top player, but he's also going to help you make the playoffs. So which one? To me, it's more of a message of protecting a playoff spot than it is thinking that you're going to win with him in the next few years.
I'd rather they paid him too much for 2 years or 3 years or something. Like, yeah, good Lord, how can you say we're going to change the DNA of this team and then bring back one of the core pieces of DNA that has been there when they can't get it done?
It's not even about that. It's like the whole DNA thing is like giving in to these guys' needs and not being tough negotiators. And, you know, don't the Leafs have all the leverage here? Doesn't he want to desperately to stay? Like,
to me,
it can't start with a 5 for me to be satisfied.
To me, I'm not even sure about the importance of term or money than I am that if this thing goes south, JT, if we want to commit this money to me, to you, you can't lock us in. If this thing goes sour next year, you need to be tradable. I need 10 teams on the list. And if you want to play until you're 38 or 39,
earn it.
You got to allow me to come back to you and say, we gave it a try, but I need younger players. I need picks. I need to use that space for something that we're rebuilding on.
Mm.
And you have to move. Are you willing to do that? And if the answer is yes, then work on a trade, because Tavares, if his game falls off, it will still be in the Brad Marchand, I can get a first, a second, a prospect. I can get some real value here.
You think?
If, but he 38 goals.
I understand, but he's not
38 goals.
I know, but I know. Tavares has had an unbelievable career, but I'm not going to put him in the same conversation as Brad Marchand.
I'm not talking about player-wise. I'm talking about what value you could get back.
Sure.
Marchand got greatly undervalued.
He got undervalued because he picked his spot.
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
And Tavares may pick his spot too, and maybe that could force a lesser of a... All I'm saying is that you better be willing to forget about a no move, or we're not going through that again.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I like your idea of, like, hey, we'll do 10 teams for you or something. You know, you can pick it pretty narrow here, but
we'll start the season off. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And after that, If I got to move you, you got to be able to give me some teams to move you.
We didn't have you on Friday when we talked about the Andy Strickland thing, that Marner is 100% not coming back. He's not coming back, and you know, people had different feelings on that.
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's just people reading the tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it definitive? Did the Matthews, or did the Marner camp go to the Leafs and say, we're not coming back? Did the Leafs go to Marner's camp and say, we don't want you back? No, they did not.
Yeah. Like Elliot on his 32 Thoughts said that the Leafs tried to talk to Marner. Marner's camp has not engaged with them. And he said, I think we know where this is headed. He's going to hit the market, going to pick a team.
Yeah.
He's not coming back to Toronto.
And listen, I don't think that they were ever clear on their intentions. No free agent is. Mm-hmm. Right? Like Tavares to the with the Islanders. You fudge it. You lie a little bit in the media, or you just, I love it here, or, you know, whatever. But you just do whatever you have to at the time to kind of move on so people can kind of forget. Mm-hmm. And they did for the most part. They did until it leaked that the Leafs and tried desperately to go to Carolina on trade deadline day when his wife's expecting in a month. And it's like, nice try, guys, but you got to.
Do they also try to do Vegas, though? Wasn't that a thing?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No.
Like a three-way thing?
Well, there was some talk about Theodore, but it was so never.
Was that last year?
That was last summer.
Yeah. I thought there was something with it in the trade deadline that they that Vegas was part of a three-way thing or something at the end of the... Anyways.
No. Mm-hmm. No. I think it was really clear that once Marner's no move kicked in, it was gonna take him right to July 1st.
Last Leafs question. There's a lot of smoke. I saw you write about it in the Toronto Star. Maybe you guys talked about it the day I was off, but Marchand to the Leafs, I'm watching him dominate. Do you think that can happen?
Everything I've heard is that if Bennett and Marchand are in the same ballpark at 8+, you're going to go to the younger Bennett.
You'd rather have Bennett for sure. It's right? Close.
Bennett's the priority.
If it's an option, Bennett, 100%. 100%. Agree.
And I believe Bennett wants to stay.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of finding that sweet spot. But Marchand and Elliot talked to him, and he said, I'm open to anything and anyone. He's going to get his money. He's not apologizing for saying money's important here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean,
that's where the Leafs can overpay here a little bit and have a vision, I think, for the next year anyways, 2 years of him grooming Austin Matthews, who desperately needs help in leadership.
Nyes, too.
Nyes, Easton, Cowan.
All these guys.
So all these guys could use a little Marchand kind of attitude.
Yeah. It's it is funny that, like, if you do the Marchand thing for the Leafs, like, you are once again all in. Like, you know, this is not some sort of long game, whatever. It's
no, it
like,
is a long game. To me, it's a long game. It's like,
well, Matthews Marchand's 30.
Marchand's not, he's not going to solve a Stanley Cup drought next year. They're not good enough. They're still not good enough. Mm-hmm. But what he can do is he can start spreading the word here a little bit on what it takes to win and how to show up and Willie. Yeah, you can't win playing like that. You can't just go and do whatever you want to do. You got to, whatever it is, he's got the voice that can do that. Tanev started something, but Tanev needs help in that room.
Yeah.
Marchand can help Tanev a lot.
Yeah, be curious to see who else is available via trade for the Leafs, right? Because UFA-wise, it's not, I don't love, you know, you're not replacing Marner just with UFAs, so... Depends who's out there. You got a trade board out or what?
It's I think in a couple days.
Okay.
Well, we were going to wait for the Stanley Cup final, I think.
You don't want to overshadow it with Kipper's trade board, so.
No, you got
to. Gary put in a call to Sportsnet. He's like, Kipper can't put that out right now. We're trying to have a final here.
Our thanks to Craig Simpson. He's calling the game tomorrow night. Game 6. Stanley Cup final. All right, boys. Quick hour, eh?
Fastest
in hockey, baby.
Game 5 NBA Finals on Sportsnet tonight if you want something to watch.
Enjoy your night. Right back at it tomorrow night, Game 6. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.